Rupert Murdoch thinks Fox viewers are stupid.
He's the most dangerous man to ever cross our border, ruling over a network of deceit that made him a billionaire.
I'm the guy.
Fox News is an anti-American cancer.
Fox Chairman Rupert Murdoch testified under oath that he does not believe the election was stolen from Donald Trump. And he also said that some Fox News hosts went too far.
Host Tucker Carlson texted a producer, "We are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights." Referring to Trump, Carlson says, "I hate him passionately. I can't handle much more of this."
There is a settlement in the high-stakes trial between Dominion Voting Systems and Fox.
Fox has admitted to telling lies about Dominion.
This case really was ultimately about Donald Trump and about the fact that he was in bed with a network that Americans relied upon for news, and that what they were told instead of news was lies.
Today's settlement of $787,500,000 represents vindication and accountability. The truth does not know red or blue.
Well told, Lincoln Project. Thank you for your service.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW, Lancaster, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet, so on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, Workforce Rising, No Lies Radio, Verdant Square Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us for another thrilling edition of The Bradcast. One thing we won't be able to thrill you with, happily, one thing that won't, we now know, will not be breaking during today's show, a ruling from the Supreme Court, which had been expected on Wednesday in the Mifepristone case, that ruling by a far-right Trump-appointed activist judge who is legislating from the bench in Texas. He had banned the use of the abortion pill in all 50 states after it was initially approved by the FDA some 23 years ago. A temporary administrative stay on that radical, arguably radically wrong ruling by this judge, Matthew Kaczmarek, had been put in place, a hold on it, had been put in place by Justice Sam Alito last week through Wednesday of this week. And on Wednesday afternoon, the court extended their administrative stay through Friday.
So they're kicking the can to Friday.
They are. What does that mean exactly? What's the holdup? Well, we don't know because it's the Supreme Court. They operate in secret unless, someone on Sam Alito's staff, like Sam Alito, is leaking things. But in any event, we don't know. For now, it means the status quo remains in place at least through Friday, and the drug will be available. What happens after Friday? Well, we will see. Hello, Desi Doyen.
Hello.
For now, the big news remains what happened on Tuesday, as I know a lot of folks are disappointed today about the settlement between Fox and Dominion Voting Systems in Dominion's $1.6 billion defamation suit against the wildly dangerous nation, world, democracy, humanity-threatening Republican propaganda outlet known ironically and wholly misleadingly as Fox News. I share no small amount of your disappointment regarding the fact that it appears that the deal, which included a virtually unheard-of enormous financial payout from Fox of some $787.5 million, that's more than $750 million. So it included that, but it did not include, apparently, any requirement for an on-air apology or even a correction from Fox. And it also means that Fox stars like Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Maria Bartiromo, Fox CEO Rupert Murdoch, none of them are going to be hauled into court to give public testimony and, you know, essentially be forced to confess to the lies that they have already confessed to, thanks to the release of emails and text messages that were gathered and released as part of the case to date, revealing all of them to be unapologetic liars who knew the lies that their own media outlet was broadcasting were in fact lies, but they told them anyway because that's what Fox News do. So I share your disappointment in that regard. On the other hand, as someone who has covered private election system vendors like Dominion for about two decades now, I also know that not a one of them actually gives a damn about democracy. They love to say they do, but I've seen no actual evidence of it over the years. What they do give a damn about is making money for their shareholders. Period. End of story. Which is why I've argued for so long that private corporations like Dominion, like ESNS, like Heart Inner Civic, like Smartmatic, like the now defunct Sequoia and Diebold and Premier, none of them. They have no place in our public elections, which these corporations, by and large, have now taken over, no matter how antithetical it, in fact, is to democracy, a democracy by, of, and for the people. But we know they do not care about that. They never have. We know that they care about making money off of our democracy. And for anyone who ever saw Dominion's lawsuit as really anything but that, well, I don't blame you, but for being disappointed. But you haven't been paying attention to who these companies are and what they actually do. Our friend and occasional guest on this program, Eddie Perez, who used to work for the much smaller election vendor named Heart Inner Civic, which is based in Texas and performs as the vendor for a whole bunch of counties across Texas and elsewhere. Well, he no longer works for that company, and he has, to his credit, been somewhat critical of the role that such companies play, as he's worked with open source voting consortiums as well as Twitter, which he's also left. But that's since leaving Heart Inner Civic some years ago. Eddie tweeted out about all of this on Tuesday night, somewhat esoterically, sort of quoting what he described as his humility, as his gut, and as democracy itself. Quote, "My humility. I don't know the details of the calculus that led to the decision to accept a settlement. My gut? I think a tiny voting tech company and the lawyers representing them said, that's a bleep ton of money. Let's take it. Democracy said, what about me? Answer, who are you?" So, yep, you have every reason to feel at least some disappointment today, but probably not as much as you may be feeling, which I hope to talk about a bit more today, including with a guest who is joining me shortly. But if you ever thought a private corporate voting machine company was going to actually save democracy or the truth from the ravages and assaults that it has seen thanks to the Fox fake news empire, as it has been unleashing this these ravages and these assaults on both truth and democracy for at least 20 years now, well, you may have either overhoped or underappreciated the cynical profit motive driving both of those two parties in that particular lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I am personally disappointed because I wanted all of this as just as a function of transparency and accountability to go to trial. But I think it's important for everyone to realize that, you know, no corporation and no civil suit of any kind is going to be enough to save democracy. We actually have to do the work ourselves.
More on all of that, well said. More on all of that momentarily, because there, in fact, is still much more of this to come, with more related lawsuits still left to play out. For now, the unmistakable truth is for sure that $787.5 million is, in fact, yeah, a bleep ton of money. Yes, even for Rupert Murdoch and Fox, even if arguably not having to admit that, you know, either the amount or the fact that they are paying it out because they blatantly lied to their own viewers and treated them as idiots, even as that is obviously both a disappointment and decidedly unhelpful that they don't have to make that admission. As the New York Times reported on Tuesday, Fox News' last-minute settlement with Dominion Voting Systems earned banner coverage on every television news network but one. Can you guess which one? Fox News. That's right. The $787.5 million settlement was covered only 3 times by Fox in about 4 hours after the settlement became public, amounting to about 6 minutes of coverage. For most of the day, including during the network's primetime shows, hosts appeared to be focusing on other issues like illegal immigration and COVID-19's possible origins. Because that's the Fox we all know and loathe. Everywhere else, however, the settlement remained the top story on CNN, on MSNBC, on CBS News, all well into the evening. CNN's Anderson Cooper led his primetime program with the case, also interviewed the lead counsel for Dominion, for example. But Neil Cavuto, one of the least dishonest hosts still at the propaganda outlet, and I'm being very generous with that.
Yes, you are.
He's host of the afternoon Fox program Your World with Neil Cavuto. He covered the settlement, sort of, as news of it broke. And again, after the dollar figure was announced, Howie Kurtz, Fox's media analyst, told Cavuto that the election fraud claims about Dominion were, quote, obviously false, unquote, and, quote, conspiracy theories, unquote. Well, they're something. Of course, he didn't go into details. Kurt said that, quote, both sides had an incentive to avoid a costly 6-week trial. The network also published just one story on its homepage. One story more than an hour after the settlement was announced. And for the record, Fox is one of the most aggressive when it comes to, you know, getting breaking news out there before other outlets on both their webpage and on their mobile phone alerts, etc. On this one, apparently, they were in no big rush on Tuesday afternoon for some reason. Anyway, that one story on their webpage, which I will share with you in a moment, as it was linked from the New York Times piece, included the network's official statement and called the lawsuit media fodder, according to the Times. By Tuesday evening, that story was ranked around the 30th position on the Fox News homepage, and yeah, good luck finding it today. At all. Fox News declined to comment to the New York Times for that story. So what did that one story on the Fox News homepage, at least for a few fleeting minutes, actually say? Well, allow me to read it in its entirety. Now, don't worry. I got to get to a guest. Don't worry. This will not take very long. Here's the entirety of the Fox website's coverage of this blockbuster landmark First Amendment lawsuit case settling on Tuesday. Quote,
that's going to require them to pay $787 million.
Not that the Fox News readers would have any idea. Here's what the entire story is. Quote, Dominion Voting Systems filed a $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News Media in March 2021. Delaware Superior Court Judge Eric Davis, who was overseeing the defamation lawsuit, praised both parties for their handling of the case. Quote, "I've been on the bench since 2010. I think this is the best lawyering I've had ever," Davis said, adding, quote, "I would be proud to be your judge in the future," unquote. The settlement came as a trial was scheduled to launch this week with a jury selected earlier in the day. The lawsuit, which stemmed from coverage of the post 2020 presidential election. What kind of coverage of the post 2020 presidential election? Fox does not mention that. Coverage of the post 2020 presidential election had become media fodder, with news outlets closely watching the outcome of the highly publicized legal battle. What was the legal battle about? Don't know. Unclear. Then President Donald Trump and his allies fiercely challenged Joe Biden's victory in the weeks following the election. Some of them, including members of his legal team, made false and unsubstantiated claims against Dominion voting systems and are the subject of separate defamation lawsuits. End of story. That's it.
Wow.
78 words total. Plus the headline, quote, "Fox News Media, Dominion Voting Systems Reach Agreement Over Defamation Lawsuit."
No mention of the settlement or anything.
I'm glad they reached an agreement. Does that mean Dominion paid Fox News a whole bunch of money? What's the settlement? We don't know. How much did they settle for? There is no word even about who paid what to whom. For the record, Fox paid Dominion more than $750 million. That $787.5 million, that number is not mentioned in the story, not even that anybody paid anybody anything, actually. Just that they reached an agreement and there was a settlement. There is no mention that the judge found Fox had, in fact, lied about every single thing that they reported regarding Dominion having stolen the election for Joe Biden in 2020 or rigged it against Trump, which the judge determined in his rulings were all baseless and evidence-free lies. Not only did they lie about it, but they knew that they were lying about it, as mountains of evidence based on actual internal communications between Fox executives and producers and hosts had proven already in the case that before the trial even began that they were all lying, and they all knew that they were lying. There is no mention in the Fox story of why Fox lied, as also proven in the evidence presented before the trial began, essentially that they were bleeding viewers to other far-right outlets for the sin of correctly calling Arizona for Joe Biden on election night, and that the propaganda outlet and its stars were all freaking out about their audience turning away from them for having done so, turning away in droves at the time. And the statement from Fox that the New York Times had reported was included in Fox's coverage? Well, if that statement had ever been included in the Fox News story, it is no longer there. It's been removed. For the record, that statement reads in full, I believe, quote, "We are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our decision to resolve this dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward from these issues." So if that statement was ever in Fox's story, as New York Times reported it was, well, it was taken out by the time I got there to check it out. I guess they didn't even want to have the sentence saying we acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false.
Apparently.
They could have left it in because it doesn't actually say who made those statements. But
they're not
anyway.
Even going to let that stay in.
Yeah. For the record, Fox's website coverage of that story, all 78 words of it, includes no links to anyone else's coverage, you know, real coverage, or to any of the legal filings or the judge's rulings or anything else. It was literally the least that they could do. Now, as to why an on-air apology or correction or something more than simply cash did not appear to be included in the settlement, well, no admission of wrongdoing above and beyond, you know, Fox saying in their statement, "We acknowledge the court's rulings, finding certain claims about Dominion to be false." Whose claims? Fox's? They're pretty vague. So why was there not more? Well, our guest joining us momentarily, an attorney who has himself literally worked on a settlement in a totally different, coincidentally, $1.6 billion lawsuit. Well, he has a theory on that, and it has to do with the additional cases that are still to come. There are pending defamation lawsuits from Dominion against a number of Trump stooges like Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, and against right-wing outlets like Newsmax and OAN. But there is also a case against Fox that is still pending, against Fox specifically, that they're still going to have to deal with for $2.7 billion from another private election vendor named Smartmatic, which issued a statement after Tuesday's settlement between Fox and Dominion, reading, quote, "Dominion's litigation exposed some of the misconduct and damage caused by Fox's disinformation campaign. Smartmatic will expose the rest." Well, good. Sounds promising. That said, please see above regarding what I had to say about private voting machine companies and their interest in making money as opposed to, you know, saving democracy. For that, as Desi suggested, it will most likely be up to all of us if we find that democracy is worth saving. For now, at least, I certainly do. Hope you do as well. And to that end, attorney Keith Barber joins us next on the Fox Dominion settlement, on also some new, somewhat gobsmacking news out of Georgia, the criminal conspiracy case against Donald Trump there. Remember that one? Yes, it is still imminent. And in the E. Jean Carroll rape and defamation trial against Trump, which is set, unless it settles, to begin next week. That is all ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial. Hey, this is Brad. Here at the Bradcast and bradblog.com, we fight for election integrity all year around, like no other media outlet in the nation. But of course, we need your help to help us remain on your public airwaves and completely independent. Please help us continue that fight over your public airwaves by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
Oh, still love that song. Welcome back to the Bradcast, Brett. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Writing at Talking Points Memo today, Morning Memo author David Kurtz notes, quote, "I'm a bit surprised by the unrealistic expectations so many people apparently harbored about the Dominion case. The bombshell revelations in the case about the internal workings of Fox News and the $750 million the network is being forced to pay exceeded my expectations," he writes, "for what a civil action could achieve. It's a breathtaking success," he argues. "It is a landmark defamation case that will be studied for years," he says. "It cements in the historical record Fox's sinister role in Donald Trump's effort to subvert the 2020 election. It confirms and illustrates in vivid detail Fox's key role in fomenting the reactionary, caustic, democracy backsliding political era from the 1990s into the 2020s. So enough with the long faces," he says. The Fox settlement ranks as the second highest defamation award in U.S. legal history, behind only the Sandy Hook family's $1 billion plus in judgments against Alex Jones last year. It's the largest ever U.S. defamation settlement, as opposed to a judgment, at least that has been publicly revealed. And he makes a good point there. There is the fact that the financial settlement in this case, in any event, was disclosed publicly, even as I suspect Fox likely worked hard to keep that part of the deal sealed if they could have gotten away with it. Kurtz continues, the judge had already ruled that it was, quote, crystal clear, with the word crystal in all caps in his ruling, that Fox aired false claims about Dominion. All the trial would have done was establish whether Fox acted knowingly or recklessly. In other words, with actual malice, as per the New York Times v. Sullivan, the Supreme Court standard. And in doing so, how much Dominion's damages should be. That would have been all that was left, really, for the trial. Fox, in fact, had already lost everything else via summary judgment a week or so ago, as we covered in some detail at the time. Kurtz continues, Dominion marshaled extensive evidence of Fox's wrongdoing and was able to inject that into the public sphere via its stupendous motion for summary judgment a few weeks ago. And yes, I would also add that all of that material will now be available in the other ongoing defamation suits that are still pending from Dominion against Trump lawyers and liars like Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and Pillow Dude Mike Lindell and Overstock.com former CEO Patrick Byrne, as well as right-wing propaganda outlets like Newsmax and OAN. Those cases are still on, not to mention that material will also be usable in the $2.7 billion defamation suit that is also still pending against Fox News from Smartmatic, the other voting machine company that is suing Fox. Perhaps, argues David Kurtz, instead of sitting back and waiting and hoping for third parties like a judge or a jury or some grand duke of truth-telling in the universe to validate our judgments about Fox News, everyone in the reality-based world can simply rest confident in those judgments, shout them from the rooftops on their own merits, and proceed knowing that what we know to be true based on voluminous evidence and our own good sense. Politics generally and the movement to protect and secure democracy specifically isn't a spectator sport, he notes, and it's a fundamental mistake to treat it that way. If your ideal scenario involved Fox News personalities and the Murdochs being forced to testify and getting chewed up on cross-examine with a gargantuan verdict and punitive damages in the billions, I get you, he writes. But that was not even close to a guaranteed outcome of going to trial. Also possible, he says, the jury awards a more modest judgment. Or Dominion outright loses at trial. Or Dominion wins, but later loses on key issues on appeal and has to start all over, etc. In any of those also plausible alternative scenarios, he says, Fox would have had the opportunity to further muddy the waters. In your imagined Schadenfreude-rich universe, bad things could have happened too. And Kurtz is correct there. He also goes on to address the questions as to why Fox wasn't forced to admit wrongdoing and apologize. But for that, allow me to turn to my guest today on that matter, as well as several other accountability matters that continue to cascade upon us this week, including the matter of Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fani Willis's conspiracy case, presumably against Donald Trump and a few dozen of his closest co-conspirators who tried to strong-arm officials into stealing the 2020 election for Trump that he lost in Georgia, and for the rape and defamation trial against the former loser president. that is set to begin next week in New York City in a lawsuit filed against him by columnist E. Jean Carroll. I'm happy to welcome back to the show today our friend, longtime, if now retired attorney, and frequent Daily Coast contributor, where he is known simply as Keith DB, and where he is now writing again, both there and at his own site at Medium.com, our old friend Keith Barber. Welcome back to the broadcast, amigo.
Well, thank you, Brad. Good to be back.
Well, my friend, I'm glad to see that you are back and writing at Daily Coast again, along with at your own site at Medium, because, you know, I stopped by the site last night, and lo and behold, a full three of the top five most recommended stories were by you, my friend. So, congrats for that. I'm hoping to run through all three of them today, as mentioned. So let me start with the first one, headlined "A Calm Dive into the Dominion Settlement." And I want to walk through some of your quite plausible explanations about what happened in this settlement and why it played out as it did, including why there was no apology, etc., from Fox. But I should start by noting that, as I recall, as an attorney, you actually once had the job of working out a settlement in your own literally $1.6 billion lawsuit?
I did. The defendant in that case was the government.
Aha. Uh-huh. And, yeah?
And that was on behalf of over 1,000 hospital clients.
Mm. And what insight did that case offer you, sort of in general terms, in understanding the process that Dominion and Fox had reportedly been going through in the days and hours leading up to the eventual canceled trial on Tuesday?
Yeah, well, basically, that you don't close billion-dollar deals overnight.
Mm.
That's an enormously complex process. Ours was more complex, I mean, because I had to deal with 1,000 clients and mm-hmm. notify them of potential settlement offers and stuff like that. But, you know, the crossing the T's and dotting the I's of the details get to be very, very involved in these things. And they simplified it in this case quite a bit mm-hmm. by just making it about money.
Mm-hmm.
So all they had to agree to was kind of that bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Had they gone further and given everybody what they wanted in this, the on-air mea culpas from Fox, mm-hmm. then that would have required negotiating the details of, you know, who would say exactly what and how. And that's a lot of horse trading to talk there, and that would have taken a lot longer to get to the bottom line here than they obviously took. They, you know, Fox just basically threw enough money at it to settle it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that particularly after the judge appointed the master to review potential Fox misconduct and discovery in the case, Fox really had to settle it, and Dominion and its attorneys knew it and had all the leverage to get a whole lot of money out of them.
Well,
more money, a lot more money than they would have got if it had gone to trial.
Well, now, a lot of people argue that, they were able to get a whole lot of money out of them, but they also had the leverage to get much more. You noted in your coverage on Tuesday that you were also initially disappointed as well by the settlement's lack of an on-air mea culpa from Fox, etc. But after thinking through it, quote, "From a lawyer's perspective, such a settlement would be extremely difficult for Fox to make at this time specifically." Why is that, Keith?
Well, because they have all that other pending litigation from Smartmatic and the pending litigation against their on-air personalities. So, you know, they make an admission here that they knowingly made false statements. Uh-huh. Well, those false statements are applicable in the Smartmatic case, too. It's basically the same allegations. And they're basically conceding that case as well.
So from the
perspective of a Fox lawyer, they probably had to tell Dominion's attorneys that that's off the table.
Mm. And so if they wanted any deal at all, they had to take a money-only deal, because any admissions we make here are going to be applicable in all of these other cases.
That's correct. As you pointed out, all the facts that were developed in this case are admissible in all of those other cases, too. But that's a big distance between that and Fox publicly stating, yes, we knowingly lied.
You also helped to sort of put the amount of money that Fox is going to pay out here in perspective. And I think a lot of people are, you know, so upset that there's not an on-air apology and so forth, that they're sort of overlooking how much money we are actually talking about here. Help us understand that as far as how much actual money this is to Fox.
Well, it's about three-quarters of a year of net income for Fox. You know, it's over half a year of net income for Fox. So from Fox's perspective, that's a whole lot of money, particularly since they have probably outstanding liability to go in other in these other cases. And from Dominion's point of view, I mean, look at this from the perspective of a Dominion lawyer, and you're representing Dominion, which averaged $40 million a year in not net revenue, mind you, but gross revenue. That was her gross revenue was $40 million a year. And, of course, the jury is going to hear that when it comes time to calculate damages. So was there any chance that a jury for a company with only $40 million a year in gross revenue is going to award damages of nearly $800 million? I really don't think so. That's why I said that they got out of this settlement a lot more than they would have at jury trial. And that is 20 years of gross revenue for Dominion Voting Systems. And, you know, my article has a picture of the Dominion lawyers walking out of the courtroom. And they are all smiles. And I imagine they were on their way to go have some very nice scotch.
So so it's your contention here that had this all gone through, had the case actually played out, even had Dominion won everything they were gunning for here, you don't think they would have walked away with $787.5 million?
I don't think they would have walked away with anything close to that.
You offer what you describe as three gentle responses to those who are upset that the American people will not get the vindication of truth that they deserve, as you wrote. Let me walk through those, all three of them quickly here. You write, first, Dominion's lawyers do not represent the interests of the American people. Good point. Why is that noteworthy as you see it?
Well, their ethical obligation is to their client, not us. And their client is Dominion and its shareholders and its owners. And as I put it, you know, to be a Dominion owner tonight is to be in a very happy place. All those guys are rich now.
Second, the Smartmatic lawsuit still remains, you note. And you think that means that Fox may be, as you put it, more willing to trade mea culpas for cash in the next case when it comes to Smartmatic. Why do you see that?
Well, they might be, because that will be, you know, that could be on the table for Smartmatic, because there wouldn't be any more, you know, after that for Fox. Though, you know, there could be. There's been talk of Fox shareholders filing derivative lawsuits, they're called, but the shareholders suing Fox for basically, you know, this is money out of shareholder pocket. And Fox's misconduct is hurting its own shareholders. So there's talk of them suing, too. So that might be a limit. But, you know, the alternative is, if you're not going to trade the mea culpas, you know, for cash, then it's more cash and more money out of everybody's pocket. So, and like I said, I think Fox may be a bit short of cash now.
So they're short on cash, and so they may be able to pay in mea culpas instead. By the way, Keith Barber, do you have any idea? Can we assume that insurance will now cover much of this outlay from Fox to Dominion?
You know, I would expect, first of all, the insurance is going to have some sort of cap on it. I can't believe insurance, you know, goes for something like defamation, goes all the way up to, you know, nearly $1 billion. So I think Fox is going to have to pay some of that. And I would expect insurance to challenge this. because, you know, this was Fox's misconduct and deliberate acts that did this. So I don't know what Fox has in the way of insurance in this regard. I'm sure that they do. An organization in its position would have insurance to cover even defamation. But this is not just any defamation case, and this is not just any settlement, like you pointed out. It's the second largest defamation settlement in United States history.
And so even if they do have insurance, the insurance company may say, yeah, we're not going to cover what you guys did. That could be interesting.
I would expect them to contest it, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let's move to Georgia, shall we? The case against Trump and friends there. Where you've been also keeping close count on Twitter of Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis's statement in court that, quote, charging decisions are imminent in the case. How many days, as we go to air right now, Keith Barber, do you recall how many days ago that...
That was 85 days ago, Brad.
85 days ago. Now, as an attorney... Is 85 days more than imminent as you would see it?
You know, we talked about this in February, and I was assuming that there would be something filed by her by the end of February at that time, and then well, March at the latest.
Uh-huh.
And so here we are, you know, coming close to the end of April, and still nothing. And I think that, you know, this 85 days has passed, and people have been wondering, you know, just what is she doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yesterday's filing gave us a hint as to what she's doing.
Apparently so. News broke in the case on Tuesday that, as CNN reported it, the Fulton County District Attorney's Office said some fake electors for Donald Trump have implicated each other in potential criminal activity, and the DA's office is now seeking to disqualify their lawyer, according to a new court filing. This is an attorney, Kimberly Burroughs DeBro, who is apparently being paid by the state Republican Party, as I understand it, to represent this group of 10 Republican fake electors. The DA's office is now moving to have her removed, I guess, entirely from the case. I know there were several points that jumped out for you from that filing this week. Let me step through some of those quickly, starting with this one. You write, on April 12 and April 14, in just the last week, representatives of Willis's office interviewed some of the electors represented by DeBro. In those interviews, with DeBro sitting right there, quote, this is from the filing, some of the electors stated that another elector represented by Ms. DeBro committed acts that are violations of Georgia law and that they were not a party to these additional acts. Okay, what do we take away from that, Keith?
Well, what you take away is that those electors have a conflict of interest with each other, and accordingly, Ms. DeBro can't represent all of them. And as is indicated, Willis requested that the court say that DeBro can't represent any of them because she has heard all of the things, you know, confidential communications between them that could allow her, if she represented one or some, to use what she heard from the other clients against that client, you know, the client she keeps. So it's, you know, it's a mess, and I understand that DeBro has denied all of this, but
this is a fact.
Accordingly, is contesting this, but, you know, we'll see what the judge decides.
Well, I mean, isn't this a fact-based issue? In other words, something that she cannot deny. Either there is, you know, additional crimes that affect one but not the other, making her representation of both of them a conflict of interest. I mean, it's not saying she's doing a bad job or she's a bad person, but it's simply a matter of a legal ethics, no?
It's a basic matter of fundamental legal ethics. You can't represent competing parties in the same matter. And that's what would be going on, you know, at least that's what Willis says is going on. And it does seem like it should be a fairly straightforward, you know, fact issue to hear, you know, what was said in that meeting. You know, and it's also, my second point was that, you know, some of the electors said that DeBrow never communicated to them a offer for immunity.
Yes. Wait, and that was, and I'm not a lawyer. Let me just make this clear. But when I read this, if I understood this correctly, basically the DA's office, Fannie Willis, basically said, hey, let your 10 clients know that we would be interested in granting them immunity in exchange for their cooperation in this case. The DeBrow's, I guess, said, okay, I'll do that. And now apparently it turns out these fake electors say we never heard anything about such an offer for immunity?
It actually went further than that. The judge ordered DeBrow to communicate to her clients that, you know, the prosecutor's office was interested in working out potential immunity deals with them.
Uh-huh.
And DeBrow said, okay. And then she later came back to the court and said, I did that and none of my clients are interested. At least that's what Willis alleges.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, I can't imagine an attorney.
Yeah.
That is hard for me to fathom.
Exactly.
And what it does sound like is that rather representing, you know, if true, what it sounds like is that rather representing the interests of those 10 people,
right,
as individuals, is that she's representing the interest of the party, which, as you suggested, might mm-hmm. be paying her. And
But shouldn't she?
That's not right.
Well, it's not only is it not right, not only is it unethical, but I mean, it seems like she lied to the judge that, oh yeah, I'll you know, communicate these offers and so forth. Shouldn't she be sanctioned, removed from the case?
I mean, you know, it's interesting because Willis presents that allegation, and then in the rest of the decision or her motion doesn't discuss it much.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the implications of that go well beyond simply removing her from representation of those 10 clients. Thou shalt not lie to the judge. I'm pretty sure it's in the Bible.
Yeah, I think it is. before I move on to the E. Jean Carroll case very quickly here, on this, because that just blows my mind. And by the way, would all of that and all of this that we're talking about, would this explain those 85 days? Does it take this sort of time to sort this sort of thing out?
Yeah, I think that a couple of things are going on. First, notwithstanding that the special grand jury wrapped up its business in January and mm-hmm. submitted its report with its recommendations, Willis is still investigating. She's still interviewing people and sitting down and talking to people. I think that she's trying to flip some more of those electors. Mm-hmm. The New York Times reported that she had flipped one, but mm-hmm. I guess she feels that to really strengthen her case, she would like to flip some more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's trying to do. And right now, she's having to deal with this unified pact that, you know, of 10 that DeBrow has put together.
Right.
That are so far, you know, refusing to do that. And you know what? Sometimes representing your client as an individual means that it might be in that individual's interest to cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
And Willis is saying that's not happening, and so forth. The question I think comes to this is, we're at 85 days in my Fannie Willis imminence count.
Yes, yes.
And so, how many more days will it be? How much longer will it be? I don't think that there's a good answer to that question now, because, you know, the investigation is still open.
There you go. And did she give any sense, by the way, in this filing as far as what those additional criminal acts could possibly be? Because I have a sense of that from some of my Georgia sources, but was it mentioned in the particular filing?
No, it was not. But the use of the phrase additional acts
mm-hmm.
there suggests to me that it is acts that go beyond just these forged Electoral College certificates that mm-hmm. they all sign.
My understanding, for what it's worth, is that the that it has to do with Kathy Latham, and she's a former Republican Party state Republican Party official. She was involved in this breach of voting system software in Coffee County, Georgia.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and she had in a deposition. This is a suit that's filed by a friend and of ours, a frequent broadcast guest, Marilyn Marks of the Coalition of Good Governance. In the in that case, in the deposition, Latham said she did not go into the office where this breach was happening. She said she stopped by. She was there for 5 minutes most. And then, as it turns out, surveillance video footage that was obtained in the course of that trial shows that she was there for more than 4 hours. So as they were making unlawful, illegal copies of voting systems software in Georgia, a case that's still not being investigated as we understand it at the federal level, as it should be. But if this means Fannie Willis is looking into it, then that is good news. All right.
Wonder if she went before Willis's special grand jury and told that same story about I was just there for 5 minutes, because the grand jury, you know, one of the parts of that that was unsealed was the grand jury saying that they think some people perjured themselves. So that, you know, that I wondered right away if that additional acts didn't involve the perjury referred to by the grand jury. And maybe it does.
Well, I understand we will find out imminently.
Whatever that means.
Now, finally, next week, the trial in the case of columnist E. Jean Carroll, her rape and defamation trial against Donald Trump, is set to begin in New York City. Apparently, in a courthouse that is adjacent to the one where Trump was charged with some 34 criminal felonies for falsifying business records in the Stormy Daniels affair just a couple weeks ago. So Trump apparently filed for yet another delay in this particular case, arguing it was just too soon after his New York indictment for him to be able to get a fair trial in New York. How did that argument go over with the judge overseeing that civil lawsuit against the former president?
Yeah, well, when I saw the Trump filing requesting the delay, I right away laughed and thought, you know, well, if you give him a month delay for this indictment, in a month there'll be another indictment, and he'll ask for another month delay, and in that month yet another indictment, and this could go on in perpetuity. And the judge said exactly, well, not exactly that, but
close to it.
He said that postponements in circumstances such as this are not necessarily unmixed blessings from the standpoint of a defendant who is hoping to avoid negative publicity. Events happen during the postponements. Sometimes they can make matters worse. Mr. Trump faces a number of criminal and civil investigations and litigation, including, and then drops a long footnote discussing those investigations and how those could generate their own publicity later as well.
It does suggest that this judge in this particular case gets it, understands what Trump's game is. The question, I guess, is, you know, Trump has a habit of settling with legal opponents that he's unable to intimidate into dropping their case entirely. Keith Barber, would you expect to see another settlement struck in that case between him and E. Jean Carroll, akin to what we saw in the Fox Dominion matter before ever gets to trial?
You know, this guy's supposedly running for president, and he settles with a plaintiff who accuses him of rape. That's going to be tough. Now, let's assume that the settlement is one where Trump agrees to pay some money, but doesn't admit to any, you know, doing anything wrong. That it's settlement done to reduce the risk of litigation, as the lawyers like to say, in the settlements, and recognition of the mutual risk of litigation. Assume that's still an awfully bad look. Can you imagine the advertisements that his opponents would run against him?
Yeah. but
it would be something.
I mean, he'll do what he did, you know, with Stormy Daniels. Oh, I never had sex with her. I was just paying her to go away. She's a crazy lady. I mean, that's what we know. That's what he'll do if he can get away with it. I guess the question really here is, you know, would E. Jean Carroll go away without a trial, without the facts coming out? But you know what? If somebody offers you, you know, few million bucks, it's hard to say no, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's definitely hard to say no. And Carroll gets to say, my vindication's in the bank account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously, you know, he didn't give me X million dollars to settle this case because he believed he could win it,
mm-hmm.
is what she'll say. And, you know, which is very much what Dominion is saying.
Exactly.
Right now.
That's what I was going to say. That's what Dominion is saying. Hey, we got all the money. That proves we were right. That's proof enough. And maybe it is, although I suspect some people may be left disappointed in that case as well, if that's what happens. Keith Barber, really appreciate your work on all three of these cases. We'll link to all three of your stories. I'm sure you'll have another three up at on the top of the recommended list. By the time I get tonight's show posted, you can find Keith and his work either at dailycoast.com or at keithdb.medium.com. And you can find his delightfully irreverent Twitter feed where he beats up on pretty much everyone on the Twitters at keithdb80. Hey, thanks, Keith. Really appreciate everything. We will talk to you soon, I suspect.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Brad. You have a great day, and looking forward to the end of that imminence watch.
It'll come eventually. Thank you, brother.
Have a good one.
Okay, we have we got to get out.
Yes, and I hope he's right that soon we'll find some kind of development out of Georgia, just because I really would like to hear about it.
Imminence. Imminent watch. He posts every day. Imminence watch
day 85,
yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah. And when I say it's irreverent, it's irreverent because he beats up on a lot of his fellow Republicans. He used to be a Republican until Donald Trump came along. So that's kind of fun. Anyway, we do got to get out.
Yes.
Thanks again to Keith Barber. Thanks to Desi Doyen, our producer. And thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, or you want to just listen again or share it with someone you know or hate, you can always download it for free at bradblog.com. No paywall, that service made possible by those of you kind enough to donate to what we do. You can go straight to bradblog.com/donate. Drop me email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Twitters, and Mastodons, I am The Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
What does the frog say?
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you, who drop by bradblog.com/donate.